Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, say aloud, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to continue with our discussion on the God kind of love. And it's important that we take time to meditate on these things and feed our spirit with them. And because they are the foundations with which our Christian life is built. Foundation of our Christian life. You must understand something, that Christianity essentially is character transformation and being conformed to the image of the Son. Talking about Jesus Christ. And so, one of the reasons why I insist on ensuring that you are following the teachings is because we must understand that these teachings are given to us so we can also teach others. And so I've always said it, that when you're taking your notes, take your notes in such a way that you can teach others the same truths that you're hearing. And we all have that responsibility, even if not to others directly, to our children and our family and our immediate family. So we talked about the four kinds of love, or the four words used for love in the Bible. We talked about eros, which is erotic love. And we talked about the characteristics of that love, that it burns. Okay? And Paul said that if you cannot keep that, then get married. He talked about that's the kind of love that highly, it's so high in our society today. All right, then we talked about storge, brotherly love, mother's love, father's love, and then we talked about filial love for one another, which is what builds the Christian community. And then lastly, we talked about the agape, which is the God kind of love. Come with me to, and I think like we also emphasized, God doesn't have love, God is love. Come with me to Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. I'd like to start from there tonight. Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Acts 5:20. Here, the gates were open and Peter, was released from prison by the angel. But go to verse 20. It says, "Go, stand, and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." The whole message of this life. Now, it's important that you understand that the Christian life is a different kind of life. It's a different kind of life. So, there is an expectation of how we're to live. As a Christian, as a child of God, there is an expectation. He says, go and tell them the words of this life. It was a different kind of life altogether. And that life is the life that functions with the God kind of love. Come with me to John chapter 13. We're investigating the God kind of love. John chapter 13. Praise God. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John 13, 34. John chapter 13 and verse 34. Jesus was speaking in John 13, 34. It says, "A new commandment, I give you." So this is different from the commandment they had before, the Ten Commandments and all other commandments that they had. This was Jesus speaking now, that I am giving you a new commandment. If I say I'm giving you a new commandment, does that sound like a suggestion? I didn't hear you. Does that sound like a suggestion? If I say, well, I'm going to give everyone in this church, as the pastor of the church, a new commandment, does that mean that you have an option either to obey it or not? In reality, you shouldn't have an option. Right? Talk to me. Because it's a command. Right? If I issue a commandment, it's expected that we do what? That we follow it. So Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. This is Jesus speaking. How many of you feel like if Jesus were to stand here today and say, hey, come on, everyone in this church, I give you a new commandment. How many of you will be all ready just to hear the command that Jesus will give because you want to obey it? Right? Are we going to have that mindset? Jesus is speaking to us right now. Okay. That you love one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. How did Jesus say we should love one another? You need to talk to me. How did Jesus say we should love one another? As what? As he has loved us. There are people in your life right now that you love, but you don't love them as Jesus loves you. That's where the God kind of love comes in. How many of you think Cain loved Abel? You think Cain loved Abel? It's not a trick question. Do you think Cain loved Abel? Right? You don't think so? He did. He absolutely did. He was his brother. How many of you think those women that boiled their children when there was famine in the land loved their children? They did. Are you following this? There is a limit to the human kind of love if it's not the God kind of love. Have you seen people who go on the marriage altar, wedding vows, crying as they are exchanging their vow, for better, for worse, to death do us part, your people shall be my people, where you die, I will die, right? Bridesmaid, wedding gown, flowers, soup, right? Come on, how many of you have experienced those kind of weddings? And you're just seeing those weddings, you're like, oh God, when? When will it be my turn? God that did it for you will do it for me. You don't know that 10 years down the line. Let me tell you something in life. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever pray for what someone else has. Pray for what you see in the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay. 10 years down the line, they have blocked each other. They're not talking to each other again. Somebody wants to talk to somebody, is telling somebody to call somebody. Both of them are in the lawyer's office. Trying to separate. And one is busy looking for how to get the most out of the other person. When we bought this land, you were not working. I was the one that was working. It belongs to me. Divide it into two. But just 10 years down the line, you couldn't get them to be separated. What was that? Would you say they didn't love each other? They did. But the highest form of love is the God kind of love. And that's the love God wants us to function in. Because every kind of love will fail. You know, when the Bible says love doesn't fail, it wasn't talking about erotic love. Right? You know, erotic love can fail. If you want to sleep with a lady, you are all ready. And you just hear somebody say, oh, hey, where are you? You say, my girlfriend, all these girls in the house. And you say, ah, is it not the one that they say have there? And mentions one disease. You'll be calling you, I'm ready. Say, hold on first. Every desire will go. 2 minutes ago, you were in love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, I need to show you this because sometimes when things happen, people wonder, how did this happen? The human kind of love, except it's the God kind of love you walk in, will fail. So Jesus says, I'm giving you a new commandment. I want you to walk in love towards one another. Then he says, as I loved you. That's the standard. That's the benchmark. That's why it takes the grace of God. It's interesting. Verse 35. By these all men will know what that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Says the proof of our discipleship is not if we wear the same cloth. Right? The proof of our discipleship is not if we sing the same songs. Is if we love one another. Right? Look at Leviticus chapter 19 verse 8. I wanted to show you that in the Old Testament, they had some form of love commands. Go to Leviticus. Go to Leviticus. And this would totally change our homes, change our families, change our churches, if we walk in the God kind of love. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. This was one of the commandments. Look at this. Even in the Old Testament, look at this. You shall not take vengeance. Verse 16. Let's start from verse 16. Some of the old commandments that God gave them. Verse 16. Leviticus 19, 16. Are you there? All right. You shall not go about as a slanderer among your people. Because love doesn't slander. Love doesn't talk ill of people. And you are not to act against the life of your neighbor and your Lord. You shall not hate your fellow countryman in your heart. How many of you know in this nation there are tribes we don't like in our hearts? Yes. There are tribes we don't like in our heart. And you know that sin. I don't care what logical reason you want to have. You're smiling. There are tribes that when we just see, we don't like them. Some of you have even told yourself, my child will not marry from that tribe. Is that word of knowledge? That laughter, you need to be delivered. You shall not hate your fellow countryman in your heart. That's even old commandment. Praise God. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but shall not incur sin because of him. And I like this. He says you can correct your neighbor, but don't in the process of trying to correct your neighbor incur sin. Which means that in trying to correct someone, don't become a sinner. Don't become a sinner. Don't hate your fellow countryman in your heart. And I like how the Bible is correct, in your heart. Because once you're seated, right, nobody will know who you hate until your daughter shows up with a man from that tribe. Say, where is he from? Mentions the tribe. Said, it will not work. Say, why? Say, it's in my heart. Don't hate. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance. Nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. Don't bear grudges. Don't bear grudges. The interesting thing is all of these things are in the heart. Don't bear grudge against someone. Say, don't. You don't have to do that. If we are to go by the offense that people have offended us, we would have a lot of grudges and hatred in our hearts. Love is the high road of the Christian life. To walk in love. And you know, one of the reasons why we don't walk in love is because love will make us seem weak. Because you know, when you're taking vengeance, you remember maybe you're in school and somebody slaps you and everybody says, will you just allow that person to slap you like that? If it is me, never. You know, you didn't want to carry out any action. But the more they're shouting, never, the more your blood was pumped up. And then it resulted in fight. And some people are like that. Somebody says something to your husband, and your husband just says, okay, say, it cannot be okay. I know you are the quiet type. That's why God gave me to you. And then you go out there and cause trouble. And then other women will clap for you and say, you know what? I like the way you represent your husband. Your husband is too quiet. That's why I like my man. If he's my man, everywhere will be on fire. This is the new commandment. That you love one another. Are you here? Deep in your heart, if there's someone you hate in this series, you've got to work in love towards them. And that's why you need the help of God. Say amen. And I've had some terrible cases. I was preaching this in the US, and the brother carried me from Houston, Texas to Alexandria. I was telling me a story. Even me as the pastor, when he was telling me the story, I knew that God, right? God can change a man's life. They were in church. Because, you see, the first place to practice the God kind of love is in church. You will think in church, people will not offend you. You'll be amazed. That's why live streaming is not church. You know, if you are streaming at home, nobody will offend you. Do you know if you are streaming this service at home now, nobody will offend you? They are offending you in the parlor. You can carry the church to the room, right? That's why you need to come to church, because as these offenses come in church, they are fine-tuning you. You know, somebody say, church should be a place. Well, let me tell you the story. This guy was rising up and was supposed to become the vice president of a certain company. I will not mention names. And then he's had his papers, but then I think he had something, you know, that he needed to get. And that he did not have. But because he was so good, his manager kept, you know, promoting him and using him. And he was just supposed to have this whole thing. They've put his name in the office. He was to move in the next month. And then someone from his church called, who was his brother, called the company and said, ask this man for this paper. You saw the way he reacted. And so all of that went on, and he was dropped, lost his job. And not that he was illegal, he just didn't have something that, you know, could put him, but the company could have waived it. But then the company said, we can't waive this if people from outside are calling that you don't qualify. So the last day he was to leave the company, he went to meet the manager and said, you know what? I've been good to you. And he said, listen, we're not dropping you for your competence. It's just because of this. So he says, can I know who made that call? And I said, well, just because of how you have saved the company and everything. Showed him the name. The guy was shocked. Who made the call? Brother from church. And they were together just the last week. So he went to a gun shop. I know you will like that part of the story. When he even told me, I said, yes. What did you do? Tell me more. He went to a gun shop and bought a gun. Bought some cartridges. This is why you need to belong to a local church. From nowhere, his pastor, who's my friend that I preached for, just called him and said, where are you? Say, where are you? So he mentioned the name. And that name in the US, they say only guns. So you can't say maybe he went to buy butter. No. So the pastor said, I don't know why I called you, but if I called you, it's because God wants to save you. I don't care what anybody has done. The pastor wasn't even sure. It's not like God revealed to the pastor. So he said, I don't know who did whatever, but don't do what you want to do. And guess what? The Lord helped him. And he walked, met the pastor, and told the pastor, this is what happened. I've lost my job. This is who made the call. And the pastor said, I understand. If you want to do this, but you can't. He had told himself that he wanted to do three things. Number one, write a note to his wife. Make sure that that guy really dies. Like, make sure he dies. You've watched those movies, right? Where you shoot somebody and you finish the bullet. They're almost tempted to pack the bullet again and shoot the person. And he was ready to spend the rest of his life in prison. So the pastor said, I don't even care if you want to leave the church. I know it will be difficult for you and everything. So he went to another church close by. First day in service, he heard a message on forgiveness. So he told himself, I'm not coming back to this church. Went to a men's group. What were they discussing? Letting offense go. He said, I'm not. He went, every church he went to consecutively for 4 Sundays, he heard the message of love. And God told him, go back to that church. Love on that brother. He went back. Loved on the brother. And he said something happened to him. That after he broke down in one of the meetings, forgave, did everything, his heart was healed. He met that brother in church the next Sunday. He could not find any trace of hatred. And this is where I respected him. Nobody except him and the pastor knew what was going on. And that's the big side of love we have to talk about. Because some of us, we forgive, but after we have spoiled the person to everybody in the world, then we forgive. But nobody knew, just the pastor. 1 year down the line, the brother came, confessed to him, this is what I did. He said, well, I've forgiven you 1 year ago. When he was telling me the story, I said, this is a walking Bible. How did your wife handle it? How did your children? Do you understand that? So, you know, I gave you that example. This just happened when? In March that I was in the U.S. That people are living the word. I'm not telling you a Bible story. I'm not even telling you something about myself. A member of a church was not a pastor. We had a black brother. No, he was from Asia, the back of the car. You know, as he was telling us the story, it was only God that kept the guy from swearing. He was just saying, what, man? What? You know that that guy still feel like going to buy the gun again. Like, let's react this thing. What am I trying to say? The God kind of love will test everything. But look at what the Bible says. Come on, look at what the Bible says. You shall not take vengeance. How many of you think if this brother had told us his story without the forgiving part and he shot that guy, how many of you would feel like, well, that guy deserves it? But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Right? You cannot sow such seed except by the mercy of God and have a prosperous life. Right? But you are not the one to take vengeance on people. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. See, you've got to trust God. Don't take vengeance. Nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. But you shall love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's why you must not have, you know, sometimes this little hatred for mother-in-law, little hatred for father-in-law. When I wanted to marry you, I know what your father did, sent me through. They said 2 bags of salt. I said, I have only one. He said, I must bring 2. You are wicked. You've got to let those things go. Because I tell you something, walking in hatred stops you from walking in the fullness of the blessing. Let me tell some of you tonight, and I know that God is going to use this to help you. If you make a move into the love walk, you'll be amazed that some of the things you're believing for will come faster and quicker than you ever thought. Your faith cannot walk in its full expression without walking in love. And I'll tell you something. Do you have a justifiable reason to take vengeance? The answer is a big yes on the line, bolding. But the Lord gives you what? A new commandment. Are you still here? Come on, talk to me. Are you still here? All right. And this is not just, I forgive, but I will not forget message. No, no, this is not it. It's where you walk in love. It's tough. But that's why we need the grace of God. That's why it's a new life. See, that's why when the Bible says, now people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Do you understand that hearing this man's story, how do you feel like? This man really knows God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How will people know you're a Christian? It's not just by the little things you do. It's when you love the impossible. It's like Judas going to betray Jesus. And on that night, Jesus calls him friend. Do you know what that is? This is your treasurer. He has brought people to kill you on the cross. And he sold you for 30 pieces of silver. Not even 35. 30. Is that all you are worth? Right? And then you look at that person and say, friend. Peter did not just waste time, because Peter is not into all these friends. Peter just took sword. The guy's ear was gone. I believe, this is me, this is not Bible. I believe it was his neck Peter was going for. The guy probably dodged and he got his neck. And Peter was like, God save you. What did Jesus do? He didn't say, Peter, you have shown loyalty. Don't allow the people that work with you to hate others on your behalf. It's not the love work. So people around you, you now gang up, you now spread hatred, you now have your camp. Those of you that live in large compounds, you know rooms, invisible mark. This one we talk, this one we don't talk, this one we talk. So you train your children have a way of walking. Or have a way of hitting the other children. If they hit this one, you are happy. You need to work on that. Jesus took the ear and put it back. Even in on his way to the cross, he was still walking in love. Because if it's me, I'll say, well, let that, once you carry one ear and you're walking, next time you will know not to join. I won't hear that ear at least. Let it be, I just did something before I left the earth. You carry one ear. Anytime you say, who is that man with that one ear? Say, it's the one that. Jesus. Do you understand? Because we must come to the place in our life where we don't actually want others to suffer just because we hate them. We shouldn't take pleasure. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's say someone leaves this church now. And I hear that the person is not doing well. They have sacked him from his job. I say, yes, the anointing is speaking. No, that's not the anointing. Because if I truly loved that person, regardless of whether they are in the congregation or not, I shouldn't really want them to have a bad life. The God kind of love. Are you still here? That's why when you break up with someone or a man leaves you, single parents. Yeah, checking. Say, they have dropped people from that company. Say, in name day. Say, they drop him. Say, good for her. He leaves me and my child to suffer. In this my nakedness. God, we ask. Stop it. Don't be going naked to pray. Wear clothes. You are not Adam. Are you sure? And then you transfer that to your child. And you train your child. And then when that child, who is a girl, gets old, he's finding it difficult to marry because all you've ever done for the 28 years of raising this child is talking about how wicked his father is, how bad men are, how wicked the father is, how bad men are, how wicked the father is, how bad men are. So you groom them in subtle hatred. And that child might find it difficult to love. And but pastor, a new commandment. It's not me. It's your Savior and Master who died for you. If it's only me,
I would say, let's go and meet the guy this night and beat him so that he will not try it again. But it's not me. A new commandment I give you. So the God kind of love is not a moochy-moochy subject. It's easy from God when we receive it. He's giving it out. That is the issue. You know how many of you, you know that's right? Like you receive, oh God, I love you, reckless love. You will mountain, you will bump down. What's that? Mountain, you will climb. What's that? Tell me now. Reckless. It's just, you know, when you are receiving, you are just crying. And God says, give a portion of that reckless love. I said, no, we serve only one cup here. Right? And you know what? Every one of us have to grow in the God kind of love. Yeah? As pastors, grow in the God kind of love. As members, grow in the God kind of love. As husbands, grow in the God kind of love. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still here? So he says, do not seek revenge or bear grudge against any of your people. But love your neighbor as yourself. You know we love ourselves, right? Yeah, we love ourselves. We love to take care of ourselves. Right? Those beautiful ladies who do skincare. You know how long you stay in front of the mirror. Maybe you just see something in your face. You will sit down and attack it. Apply this, wear this, clean this, do this. Or guys that keep beards. Put your face in one place, they will be lining it, lining it. Say, be careful, lining it. Self-care. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He wasn't telling you that. You know, people say, well, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. So you need to love yourself. That's not the perspective Jesus was coming from. Jesus was saying, listen, you prioritize yourself all the time. Do that for your neighbor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just like now. Well, I know we've all grown above that. But if you go to where they are serving food, you want to ensure that you have food. Look after yourself. God says, I want you to look after your neighbor like that. And how will the church be if we walk in that kind of love? All right. John chapter 15. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting blessed? And this is just going to heal us. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. The thing that makes this deep is the fact that it says, just as I have loved you. Because if you say love one another, I can decide how I'm going to love one another. But it says, just as I have loved you. That means don't love anybody less than I've loved you. Then look at what it says. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Interesting. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So you're a friend of the Lord if you do what he commands. And what did he command? Walk in love. I'll tell you another story. You know, I'm writing it in one of the books that I'm writing now on how pastors can handle church exit when people leave the congregation. Bishop Kit Butler, he was, they were about to buy a building. And at that time, his assistant pastor came and said, you know, God has asked me to leave. And of course, the assistant pastor had quite a bit of influence. Some people were going to live with him. And he begged the assistant pastor, you know what, let's just finish buying this building and you can leave. And the assistant pastor said, no, God said I should leave right now. So, he left. And guess what? The Lord speaks to him and says, I want to take an offering. When the guy was starting his church, I want to take an offering, huge offering, and go and bless him. How many of you know that's a God kind of love? And Bishop Butler said, when he held the check in his pocket, that instead of bringing the check, he felt like making his hand into a fist to blow him. See, let me tell you, even as a minister of the gospel, when it's time to work in the God kind of love, your flesh will want to kick in. You have to yield to the Lord. Are you here? Come on, somebody. Are you here? I have to learn to yield to the Lord. The God kind of love. Now, greater love has no one than this, that one lay his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Verse 15. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Look at verse 17. These I command you, that you do what? Love one another. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. The love command. And you know, one of the ways that you show that you love God is your respect for the Word of God. That's where it starts from. You can't say you love God and you don't honor His Word. You don't reverence His Word. Either when you're reading it or when the Word of God is being taught. That's where it starts. Where the Word of God is being taught. He says, you are my friend if you obey my command. The love walk. The God kind of love. That's why we said it's the God kind of love. Romans 13:8. Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still here? Say amen. Say amen. Alright. Romans 13:8. Say, I walk in the God kind of love. Yeah, say it. Say, I walk in the God kind of love. Then say, I have the God kind of love. Yeah, you want to say that to yourself all the time. Walk in the God kind of love. I have. Don't just say, I have love. No, I walk in the God kind of love. All right? I said you should turn to Romans 13 verse what? Verse what? Verse 8. It says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Can you see this? It says, I don't want you to owe anybody anything. Don't owe them money. Don't owe them anything. It says, just owe them one thing. Love. Look at this. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. It says, owe no man nothing except love. We don't mind owing people money. We don't mind owing people things. But it says, listen. You owe everybody one thing, love. This is big. And listen, don't justify you're not walking in love. God knows. Oh God, you don't know what they did to me. You owe them love. Okay? And maybe towards the final study of this, I'm going to take questions because I know a lot of people will have questions. All right? Says, don't owe in man anything except love. This is one scripture that we built our family and our ministry on, and we've never been indebted in our life. Over 16 years in ministry and marriage, never owed anybody anything but to love them. Even when we didn't have, we refused to get into debt. Debt is not a consideration in our life. Debt is not a consideration in our family. And I'm going to also spend time to teach on that, because I see that that's becoming common in this generation again. Right? A lot of loan apps coming up. You're getting emails. You can loan this and loan that. And I'll tell you something, if you want to build your faith life, if you don't have something, the first thought that comes to your mind shouldn't be, who can I ask this for? You go to God in prayer. You put your faith on the line. That's how you grow your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right. Okay, let's read some more. Are you enjoying this? You are very quiet. Are you in love with the message? Okay. It says, he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. So, oh God, I want to fulfill the law. Oh God, I want to obey you. Love. Walk in love. Walk in love. You know, Apostle Paul was called the Apostle of Love. That's what he was called. The Apostle of Love. And you know what? History had it that he was put in a pot of boiling oil and he didn't die. And that's why they sent him to Isle Patmos. It wasn't on a vacation. They wanted to kill him. So they banished him to the island of Patmos. He got into the island of Patmos and God opened the book of Revelation to him. There's something about love that preserves. There's something about love that keeps you living long. Right? Even science have taught it. I've talked to you about emotions. Science have talked about how all those negative emotions causes ulcer, causes all kinds of things in your body. That's why sometimes people treat sickness all the time, because this one is not by all those things you buy. Inside, it's one grudge after another. You're either not happy with your supervisor. Now get home, the Okada man made you angry. Get home, you told your wife, you said goosey soup, you wanted to, she went to cook this one. And you don't know that your first grandfather does not like this soup. And when they gave birth to you, they say you look like your first grandfather. That's why you don't like this soup. You go to bed, you know, angry, grudge again. In the dream, they were playing football with you. They now took your ball, you are now angry. You wake up with grudge. Going out, you saw your landlord. He had forgotten to give you receipt. Your whole life, your system is consistently producing anger. And you know, when the enemy knows that you're like that, he will set things your way. Somebody gives you a ride. You ensure that the little child at the back of the car pushes you in a way. You just see the way the child pushed me. I started thinking of my life. You think of your life from where you are walking to when they get home. And then your own son will now forget to greet you. It will now make you think of your life again. That is, if you were rich, your son would have run. You see, your whole, and the enemy will just put all these things. The rat in your neighbor's house will be small. Your own house, the rat will be big. You see, it's because of poverty that even rat is coming to your house in that size. Your whole life. One grudge or the other. Come to church. You say, oh, they are preaching about you. Because I the whole of today, I started thinking of you, preparing a message to talk about you. And this will make you more angry. You are not that important that I will study and preach about you. Anger. It's not malaria you have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why it's not going. You are just enriching doctors and punishing yourself. Walk in love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Start with your wife. Walk in love. Start with your husband. Start with your children. Start with your church. When you go home today, write all the people you hate. Write them down. Don't say, no, I don't hate anybody. Write them down. Hate list. Number one, the one that you really hate, put them number one. Right? Some people say, Pastor, don't worry, I have 15 already. Okay, write them. Just write them. And pray a very honest prayer. Lord, let for me everybody on this list. This is what I want to happen to this person. This is what I want to happen to this person. But I choose to walk in love and obey the new command. Are you hearing this? I've had people do some very terrible things to us. You know, ministers sometimes. I've heard ministers say very terrible things about terrible things. And you know, I wanted to say I like the devil, but it's not like I like the devil. You know, but the enemy will make sure that whatever anybody says to you, there's always somebody there to repeat it to you. You always hear what they're saying. Have you ever asked yourself, how come when people say good things about you, somebody does not come to tell you, do you know today this person said this about you, that you're a very good person? Have you realized that? That people rarely tell you where they are talking good about you. But do you know that anywhere they are talking bad about you, there's always somebody there. And the devil makes sure that he connects you. Remember what happened to Job? Every incident that happened, everybody died, but I was left alone to come and tell you. Everybody died, but the one person who carried the news did not die. That tells you how the devil works. That the devil would always make sure you hear evil reports about you, and you know what he wants to do? He wants to get into your heart. That's all. Because there are people saying good things about you. Are you still here? You know, but I've had very terrible things said about. You know, sometimes people say things about you and you're wondering, is it you or someone else? And then they'll be having a meeting and then the Lord will say, send them an offering. You know, the Bible talks about loving a cheerful giver. You know, that time you're not giving cheerfully. You're giving because you're obeying God.
We see time after time, when we take the high road of love, God comes through for us. This is not a theological message. It's a practical message. So you tell yourself, I have the God kind of love. Don't say, I have love. I have the God kind of love. Okay.
So 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. What does it say? We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Okay. Did you see that? Hey, come on. Did you see that? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. What did the Bible say we should do? And we ought to do what? Lay down our lives for what? For the brethren.
Oh, is this tough? Hey, come on, talk to me. Do you think this is tough? Laying down your life for the brethren? That's the very thing we don't want to do. We don't want to lay our life down. This is real Christianity. Stephen being killed, and he says, forgive them, for they know what they are doing. She's like, no, they know. Right? If Stephen were to pray today, what do you think he would have prayed? Father, show them that you are a mighty God. Let thunder strike them.
Oh, God. You know, some of the prayers we pray in church, I'm just wondering, God will be like, do these people read the Bible?
Yeah. But it's terrible.
Even some of the testimonies we share is testimonies of how affliction came upon people because they treated us wrongly. Okay. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. So God is not asking us to do what he hasn't done. He says we love because he first loved us. Which means it's out of the love with which God loves us that we're loving others. You see, love sometimes will make you look weak. And that's what people don't want. It will make you walk away from certain things. It will make you let certain things go. And that's what people don't want.
Are you still here? All right.
Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So it's not something you pray for. Oh God, give me love. No, he's already there. What do? You yield to it. Because every time you want to take vengeance, you would hear the still small voice of the Lord saying, don't do that. Right? Don't do that. You would hear that right on the inside of you. Because the love of God is there. Are you going to yield to it? Every time you want to walk in that vengeance thing, you know, deep on the inside of you, the love of God will say, no, don't do that. Forgive. Say nice things. You know, when I was growing up, I used to think that my dad was too patient. I used to allow people believe with a lot of things. I used to actually think that. You know, but as I began to grow and study the love work, I just realized that he was a man who had matured in the love work. You know, sometimes I feel like my dad should take the back seat. Let me show these people. Yeah, you should think like that. You know, but I just realized he was more matured working in love. I remember one time my dad had some crisis going on. And all his friends left him, everybody. Some of them said some very nasty things. And when my dad started, God opened some doors for him. He started traveling. Then I'll tell him, he'll be in Lagos. He said, where are you? He said, oh, I went to see this person. I said, who? And then he tells me the name. I said, but this person said, he said, oh, he was not mature. He doesn't know God. I'm like, hey. That is why they'll take you for granted. See, but the truth of the matter is, the God kind of love is sacrificial. It's not easy. Do you know how you were when God died for you? How were you? Where you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you think if you were Jesus, he would die for you? You wouldn't. It's God kind of love.
the God kind of love. It can be tough. But the God kind of love will make our faith produce to the maximum, because faith works by love. I can tell you this, I've never seen anybody who doesn't walk in love whose faith is producing in the maximum. I've never seen. But I've seen people who walk in love and their faith is producing results. Sometimes you walk in love not just because of the people, but because of your future and the faith. And your faith. Because hating someone is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. And the interesting thing about this is sometimes the people you have hatred for, that you carry a grudge for, have no idea. They are just enjoying their life. Have you ever seen you're quarreling with somebody and the person is laughing and is happy, and you, the more they laugh, it's like with every laughter, nails are being driven inside. Like, why is this person happy? And wicked people have a way of being happy. And being carefree. And you know why? It's because they're not in the light. They're in darkness. See, that's something you must understand. That when a man is not born again, he's in darkness. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And if anyone is a murderer, the life of God does not abide in him. Praise God. Are you still here? This would help our marriages. The husband walking in sacrificial love towards the wife. The wife walking in sacrificial love towards the husband. The children doing the same for the father. The father doing the same for the children. Nobody is there for their rights. You know, we always like to claim our rights. All the time. Right? And the story I always use is the story of Abraham. God called Abraham. He took Lot with him. Lot get blessed through Abraham. Lot's headsmen start fighting Abraham's headsmen. How many of you know how you're going to deal with that case? Huh? You will remind Lot how you brought him from the village. How it was you God called. That if he does not take his time, you will withdraw the blessing from his life. But you know what Abraham did? He says, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. How do you think people would have looked at Abraham? That guy had 318 servants, more than the ones we know that the Bible talked about. 318 servants working for him. I can imagine Sarah crying, Lord, are you treating me like this because I don't have my own child? You know what I mean? You know, that would be another story entirely. But Abraham subjected himself. And then Lot chose. It says, and he chose Sodom before God destroyed it. You can't walk in strife and choose the blessing. Even what looks like the blessing will end up becoming a curse with strife in it. See, if you choose the high road of love, the more excellent way of love, you would always end up with a blessing. At the end of the day, all the struggle of Lot, everything, carried nothing from Sodom. The guarantee of your future is walking in love. It's not anything temporal. It's not money. It's not houses. All these things are transient, the Bible says. And we must know that these things are transient. Wealth is transient. Things are transient. I remember in those days, if you had a 504 Peugeot, how many of you remember 504 Peugeot? If you had a 504 Peugeot Pan, you were the biggest thing that happened to that neighborhood. Go and drive a Peugeot today. Nobody, even if you give it a ride, nobody want to enter. These things are transient. But if you walk in love, you'd walk in the blessing. And let me tell you, the enemy would always ensure that he tries to get strife and grudge into your life. He would misinterpret things to you. And that's one of the reasons people don't walk in love. Misinterpret things. They will say something, you will read meaning to it. You know, I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine one day. And I said, you know, sometimes, you know, God has helped me, but I'm somebody who, I mean, I talk a lot. I just like to talk because that's how I was built. But I was telling my friend that, you see, as I began to grow, I just realized people read meaning to things.
You say something, then somebody goes back and say, as you were saying this, I was now thinking, what are you thinking? Something they just said straight. You will read meaning, read meaning, read meaning, read meaning. Say, that's why you now stood on this side. Because when you used to say this thing before, you used to stand on this side. I mean, what is wrong with you? And the more the enemy keeps putting meaning into things, huh? Have you ever quarreled with somebody that had nothing wrong? And after 1 year, you now say, let's settle this matter. And the person say, which matter? You now start bringing. On the 19th of January, around 2 o'clock, then in February 17th, something. I mean, if you want to marry, check for that too. No. Pay attention. Because people will remember things like that. Boy. Say, this same thing, 1776, Murtala Mohammed did it to Ahmad Bello, and he caused it. I mean, you are gone. You are gone. Because I'll tell you, one of the characteristics of the God kind of law, 1 Corinthians 13, when we study that, is that it keeps no wrong. It takes no account. Do you understand? Hey, come on. Do you understand? Say, I don't used to forget things in this my life. When they do something to me, I will be smiling. Oh, but inside me somewhere, I have kept it like this. I don't forget. My friend, you have a new commandment. Go for an operation. So sometimes we just feel that you are adding weight. But I don't eat much, oh. Let's check what is inside. Grudge 1, grudge 2, grudge 3, grudge 4, grudge 5. Say, I will forgive you this one because this is the 16th time you are doing this. But if it goes to 18th, can you hear that? Say, I forgive you. But if it goes to 18th, which means that the 16 plus 1 is there. If you add on top, love keeps no account. And do you know that's difficult? Because what's going to happen to your mind? We want to keep accounts. That's why the God kind of love is enabled by God's grace. And you see, we are going to keep this message in this house consistently. Because I realize as Christians, we're sliding into a lot, not just as a church, as Christians, we're sliding into a lot of strife, backbiting, slander, you know, keeping account of wrongs. Yeah, we're just thinking it's okay. Okay, are you still here? Thank you, Lord. Are you learning something tonight? All right. Romans 13:10. Thank you, Lord. Romans 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So love does no wrong to a neighbor. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Then I'll stop in Matthew. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. It says, imitate God. Who does God want you to copy? Hey, come on, talk to me, church. Who does God want you to copy? Huh? Copy him. How many of you know that we have an example in front of us? Who is our example? God, Jesus. Both of them. Copy them. So when you want to do something, ask yourself, is this what God will do in this situation? Don't say, hey, I'm a man. No, be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of God. How? And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. He gave us example how he wants us to imitate him. He says, walk in love. That's how I want you to imitate me. Imitate the God kind of love. How many of you know that if it was not possible for us to walk in the God kind of love, God will not ask us to do it? Hey, come on, church. Are you here? If it was not possible, God will not ask us to do it. If God is asking us to do it, that means it's possible. You know what you need to do? This person has offended me. What do I do? How will God work? Walk in forgiveness. But they keep doing it. Walk in the God kind of love. And that's why I like Peter. Peter was the most practical disciple Jesus had. The man had no time for theology. His questions were straight. Excuse me, Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. What are we going to get? There's no, you know, some people just serve God and say, you know, I'm just serving God out of love. I just love God. Even if God does nothing for me, Peter says, I'm not in that camp. I've left everything. So if it's to go back now, let's know. And Jesus says, you will receive this in this life and in the life to come. Peter said, that's fine. The one day Jesus was teaching and Peter came and says, excuse me, how long, because you've been talking about this love walk, walk in love. Let's clarify this message. How many times should I forgive my brother? In a day. Peter was specific. And you know what? I can imagine Peter just wanting to hear 3 times. Peter says, okay, good. Right? You do it once, Peter is counting 2, 1, like 2. Final warning, 3. Do you understand? But Jesus says 70 times 7 in one day. Boy, that's some forgiveness. Because when we start dealing with 1 Corinthians 13, you realize the Bible says love is long suffering. Not long enjoyment. Long suffering. Because sometimes walking in love looks like suffering. And a very long one at that. It's not the easiest thing to do. That's the truth. Peter said, how many times? Jesus told him. So he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. You see, every time God is talking about love, he always puts the way he loved us as an example. He didn't use any man. He didn't point to David. Right? He didn't point to Saul. He didn't point to Peter. He pointed to God, pointed to Jesus, the way he loved us, and talks about sacrifice. So he tells us that the God kind of love is a sacrificial love. You sacrifice your ego. You sacrifice your emotions. You sacrifice your, you know, that you want to revenge. Okay. Last meditation, Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 43. I like this one. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This was in the Old Testament. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And interestingly, some people still practice this. He says, you have heard this. But look at what Jesus says. But I say to you. What does the word "but I say to you" mean? What do you think it means? A new one, a new commandment. I'm canceling what you heard. But I say to you, love what? Your enemies. How many of you find that interesting? How many of you think we should print a sticker? And what should be in that sticker? I love my enemies. That's a great... How many of you think that's a good idea? That's a great idea. I love my enemies. Someone say, remove it. But how many of you think that's a godly way of thinking? I love my enemies. Wow, that's interesting. And pray for those who persecute you. Not pray against, pray for. Not pray against those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. That's tough. Not praying that they should die. So that you may be sons of your Father. He's saying that if you live like this, that's how I will know that you're sons of your Father. You know, sometimes, maybe I want to correct my son or he does something, you know, and I'm speaking with pastor and we're just like, you know, that's like you. That's like the way you act. You know, sometimes it's interesting how children pick your character. And the funny thing about life is sometimes they take the ones you don't want them to take. Right? But it's your DNA. That's you. That's your younger version. Your older version is more matured by reason of experience, counseling, and everything. That's your younger version. Some of you look like your parents. Some of you went to look like your grandfather. I don't know what you're looking for, but you went one generation behind. So when they see you, even as a young child, the way you sit like an old man. It's like you're having a walking stick, although you don't have, but you always cross your leg like an old man having a walking stick. That's how his grandfather used to sit. It means that your action reveals who you are like. Are you hearing this? So the Bible says, if we love our enemies, then we're sons of our Father. That's interesting. That loving your enemies make you look like a son of God. Because Jesus went on to say, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what he's saying? He says, God will send son to everybody. You know, that's what we don't like about God. If we were God, you realize that sun will shine in some people's house today, and tomorrow sun will not shine. Imagine people will get up and say, there's nobody like God. God is, and say all kinds of things about God. They will still get up tomorrow and see the sun. If it were you, what will you do? You will off the sun over their head. Everywhere they go, there will be darkness. Say, you said, you know, I'm not God. You do understand that? You just see people dying all the time. God just offering people's breath. It's me you are insulting. And that's why sometimes when David says, when I went to the house of the wicked and I saw that they were prospering, I was almost backsliding. Sometimes we don't know why wicked people live long. It pains us. It pains us. Somebody's wicked. And you are feeling like, God, just give me an opportunity to help you deal with this person. But the Bible says God sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know why? It's not because God is unkind. He's giving people opportunities to repent. He's giving them that long rope to repent. Now go on. He says, For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Which means love has a reward. But he's saying, if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He says, loving those people who love you alone is what every natural person will do. He says, but you're different. Then he says, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You just greet those who greet you. Those of you who live in large compounds. Greet those who greet you. Sweep only the front yard of those who sweep your front yard. You just measure your life like this. You do for me like this, I do for you like this. You don't do for me, I don't do for you. God knows the verse. Parables. Gentile parables. Quotations. Everywhere. You've got to be careful of all those quotations you see on social media. Respect only those who respect you. That is self-respect. Socrates. Just put it up with one guy smoking cigar. How will he have sense to say the right thing? If a quote does not line up with the Bible, you have no business putting it somewhere else. In fact, there are a lot of Bible verses you put up. Stop putting up all those stuff. Because some of them are not even true. Somebody just got angry and did one graphic design. You now, you believe that Socrates said that. If he had said things like that, he would not be a wise person. He would be foolish. Don't just put up those stuff. Don't just love those who love you. This is where our flesh will be crucified. This is where it's sacrificial. Sacrificial for us in this day will not be going to the cross. Sacrificial for us will be crucifying our flesh, crucifying our ego. Look at what it says. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know what that word perfect means? It's the Greek word thelos. It means you are to be matured. Even as your heavenly Father is matured. What's the proof of our maturity? Walking in love. Are you hearing this? That's why in marriage seminars, I teach men. Right? When people, you know, well, it's correct. You know, submit to your husband and all that. But you see, the demands that God gives to you as a husband is love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's the biggest thing in marriage. Which simply means, if you want to take that at its face value, it simply means that love has to be unconditional. And you know what unconditional love means? That your wife does not have to qualify for it. So you are not going about your marriage like, if you submit, then I will love you. If you respect, in every man, there is a lion. In every man, there is a king. If you touch the lion anyhow, it will roar. If you pet the king, you will enjoy. Are you a herbalist? That you have lion and king inside of you. You see, let me tell you, the more you listen to those things, the more you will backslide. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus did not tell you that you have lion and king inside of you. There's a small child in you. If you rub the small child head where, he will behave where. If you touch the lion, everybody who is quiet, everybody has some level of madness inside of. That's a new creation talking about himself. That everybody crazy, small. If you touch that crazy man, you will say, and you are saying that. And tomorrow you wonder why your life looks scattered. Because you said you have small grace. Stop saying those things about yourself. Rather say, I have the God kind of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't say everybody has 5 minutes madness. Some people keep their own, some people reveal their own. My own, I keep it. But when I release it, the whole world will know that everybody has madness. God did not create you like that. I have the God kind of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you tell yourself all the time, I have the God kind of love. Not I have 2 minutes madness. I have the God kind of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't remember your past life where you used to be crazy. Say, go and ask of me in school. Go and ask this woman if I handle you. No. That person is dead. All things are new. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You are not the one that used to cause riots. That man is dead. He didn't make it. That one is not married. He's still single. In the past, what? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't remember how wicked you used to be in the past. You know what? If you keep doing that, the enemy will keep telling you, this person is undermining you. Show them smarting. Before you know, you are now fighting. And then when they ask you, you will now give all the reasons. But see, there is no reason that qualifies you to hate as much as you have a reason to love. Because Christ died for you while you were yet a sinner. And we are loving. Because he first loved us. So the first way to walk in this love is receive the love of God. Receive the love of God. That even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Are you blessed? Let's pray. Father, thank you. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling with working in love, you're just struggling with any aspect of your life, forgiving someone, you know, walking in offense, I just ask that the Holy Spirit of God will walk in our hearts and will help us to walk the high road of love. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.